Just, I am no scholar in Hebrew, but just before coming to the conference, I've heard someone speaking about the Hebrew word, exactly that word, became and was.
Uh-huh.
And he said that everywhere in the Bible, this word is translated was.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those who want to put became there, they are making something new.
Well, they do it for that reason. Many times the became is inserted there in other translations to allow for the gap theory.
Yeah, that's,
see, this way, I think that it's important for us to at least understand that's what they're saying.
That's what they're saying. Okay, now, can I move on? Next one? Okay, now, so this is what I'm saying to you. And this is a big point I'm trying to make. That, as I said earlier in my words, that some Christians have used this unspecified interval to try to harmonize the ideas of scientists with Scripture, since science must be correct. Right? That's the assumption, that science must be correct. Therefore, we have to sort of accommodate it in. And I'm saying to you, you know, we do science, and some of us in here are going to earn our living based upon science. And we can tell you that science is not. Science changes all the time. Excuse me for a second.
But can't verses 3 and 4, how they couldn't play into that, because if there wasn't light, then all this science stuff couldn't have happened for billions and billions and billions of years during the gap. Then light was created after that. There's an inconsistency there as well.
So you're saying that because light came afterwards in our description.
Right.
Keep going.
If for everything to have evolved and all this stuff for billions and billions of years, the light would have had to go first, or at least sometime first. Now we see light after the so-called gap. It's kind of inconsistent.
It's very simple to argue against that. Yet they will say something like, well, it was created, and then this is a description of what was done after, and so on. In other words, they'll say it's not time, chronological. They have responses, but they're all silly.
Yeah, within the confines of the walls of academia, scientists would be okay with saying that we don't know the answers. And a lot of stuff we say is actually false. They publish it in the papers. We don't really know. It's just our hypothesis. But outside of those walls, it's presented as truth. So then that's where you get statements as in science must be correct. But in the confines, I've heard professors say, yeah, a lot of stuff we say, we don't really know.
But let me say what the sad truth is. That the scientists, when scientists get together, they would admit that, you know, every year we got a conference, we have new information, we are attacking new things. Every year that happens, okay? But when the scientists speak to the general public, and here you are a Christian, let's think of the Christian community who may not have had exposure to this information. When they hear the scientists speak, they tend to think, oh, they must be correct. At least the layman public tends to think that way. And I think that has affected the Christian testimony to some extent, and they've sort of tried to accommodate it. I've got to push on a little bit. Now, just give me a few seconds, okay? For bear with me. Therefore, just to understand that based upon evolutionary thinking, they have a timetable, okay? They say that the universe began with a big bang 10 to 20 billion years ago. Now, apparently people say that this timetable has been revised and revised and so forth, but billions of years ago, okay? And that the solar systems arose 5 billion years ago, and single-cell organisms 3 to 4 billion years ago, man 1 to 3 million years ago, and modern civilization developed 5 to 10,000 years ago. Now, the thing here to understand is that for evolution to actually be able to work, they need time. They need a lot of time, because it's not something that they can even claim it happens quickly. It has to take a long period of time. So that they need that time. Okay, now, so they base their timetable upon different dating techniques, right? Again, some of us in here may have got physics backgrounds and so forth, so you folks can deal with this. Peter can help us with this. This radioisotope dating techniques, which are not trustworthy, right? They're not trustworthy. They make a bunch of assumptions. I've just made a list of them here. This is not for an exam, folks, okay? The assumptions are that it's a closed system. That means that there was no contamination. If you take a sample, a rock sample or whatever, you make the assumption that that's a pure sample, that nothing else has either come in or left from that particular sample, okay? Another thing is that there was nothing, no new daughter particles formed during that period of time. And then the last thing, this is the big one that I really have a handle on. We can go outside and we can set up some instruments And we can make measurements of the rate of decay of some element. We can do that today. And that could be pretty accurate. But what you measure today does not mean that that rate of decay was consistent over eons of time. That's an assumption that these people make.
I didn't hear you. They're extrapolating by 6 to 10 orders of magnitude, which as in scientific terms is ridiculous. I mean, there's no parallel.
You know that.
Sadly, they say that. These are types of assumptions they're making, and then they kick it out, and the general public accepts it. And it's portrayed to our kids in school that science says this, and that's it. So I'm saying to you, the assumptions, I think it's important for some of us to at least understand this, so that when we are talking to our colleagues who are in the biological sciences or other sciences, we can say, look, folks, we can argue on a solid foundation. Now, this is not my area, I just think it's important. If you want more information, I'm not pushing a book, I'm not selling books, but if you want more information on this, we can look at this. There's a lot more resources out there that you can look at to get more information. But I think it's important for us to at least understand that the Bible is very clear. And if you therefore, there are many people who are scientists, who are reputable scientists, who've got all the background training, but who are Christians. Who are Christians. Who are true born-again believers. And when they go and examine the evidence, the raw data, and they do correct science, and they look at what the Bible says. You read what it says here. Even if one inserts every possible time gap in the genealogies and elsewhere, which is clearly not warranted, the time of the creation of Adam would be no longer than, say, 12,000 years, and most likely closer to 6,000 years. So what I'm saying to you is, true believers looking at using the genealogies that we have in Genesis, right? You know, Adam begat this and so forth, and looking at the years spans. When you do all that math, Usher did this years ago, and you do all that math, it comes up with that it's around about 6,000 years. Genesis 3, verse 3 onwards, when we talk about the actual creation, like day by day, we're talking about 6,000 years. And as I said, even to be liberal, it's no more than 12. Some people say no more than 10. Now, are people understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to force science in your throat. But all I'm trying to say to you is that based upon a true science, true Christians who look at the Bible as the authority and look at the genealogies, they didn't get these numbers out of thin air, folks. They got them straight from the Bible, looking at the genealogies and putting it together, comes up with close to 6,000 years. As when from verse 3 onwards is where we know when the creation was made. At least man's creation.
But in terms of the timetable that you've shown before, the evolutionary timetable with billion this and billion that, some folks whose intention it is to harmonize what you were saying before will say that, you know, the 6 days or, you know, the 7 days of creation aren't literal days, that the word could be interpreted in other places of Scripture. Okay, we're getting there.
That's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Let's. You're there, so let's go ahead. Yeah.
So that the word day in other places in Scripture is interpreted as age, and, you know, it says in Scripture that, you know, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day unto the Lord, and that there's the opportunity to say that it's not a literal day. So I guess we'll get there.